Hey Boo, we're continuing chapter 12 of Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire, and Professor Dumbledore was about to explain exactly what the Triwizard Tournament was. The Triwizard Tournament was first established some 700 years ago as a friendly competition between the three largest European schools of wizardry, Hogwarts, Beauxbatons, and Durmstrang. A champion was selected to represent each school, and the three champions competed in three magical tasks. The schools took it in turns to host the tournament once every 5 years, and it was generally agreed to be the most excellent way of establishing ties between young witches and wizards of different nationalities. That is, until the death toll mounted so high that the tournament was discontinued. "Death toll?" Hermione whispered, looking alarmed. But her anxiety did not seem to be shared by the majority of the students in the hall. Many of them were whispering excitedly to one another, and Harry himself was far more interested in hearing about the tournament than in worrying about the deaths that had happened hundreds of years ago. "There have been several attempts over the centuries to reinstate the tournaments," Dumbledore continued, "none of which have been very successful. However, our own Department of International Magical Cooperation and Magical Games and Sports have decided that the time is ripe for another attempt. We've worked hard over the summer to ensure that this time no champion will find himself or herself in mortal danger. The heads of Beauxbatons and Durmstrang will be arriving with their shortlisted contenders in October, and the selection of the three champions will take place at Halloween. An impartial judge will decide which students are most worthy to compete for the Triwizard Cup, the glory of their school, and the 1,000-galleon personal prize." "I'm going for it," Fred Weasley hissed on the table, his face lit with enthusiasm at the prospect of such glory and riches. He was not the only person who seemed to be visualizing himself as the Hogwarts champion. At every table, Harry could see people gazing raptly at Dumbledore, or else whispering fervently to their neighbors. But then Dumbledore spoke again, and the hall quieted once more. "Eager though I know you all will be to bring the Triwizard Cup to Hogwarts," he said, "the heads of the magical schools, along with the Ministry of Magic, have agreed to impose an age restriction on contenders this year. Only students who are of age, that is to say, 17 years or older, will be allowed to put forward their names for consideration." "This," Dumbledore raised his voice slightly, for several people made noises of outrage at these words, and the Weasley twins were suddenly looking furious, "is a measure we feel is necessary, given that the tournament tasks will be still more difficult and dangerous, whatever precautions we take, and it is highly unlikely that students below 6th and 7th year will be able to cope with them. I will personally be ensuring that no underage student hoodwinks our impartial judge into making them Hogwarts champion." His light blue eyes twinkled as they flickered over Fred and George's mutinous faces. "I therefore beg you not to waste your time submitting yourself if you're under 17. The delegations from Beauxbatons and Durmstrang will be arriving in October and will remain with us for the greater part of this year. I know you will all extend every courtesy to our foreign guests while they're with us, and will give your wholehearted support to a Hogwarts champion when he or she is selected. And now it is late, and I know how important it is to you all to be alert and rested as you enter your lessons tomorrow morning. Bedtime! Chop chop!" Apparently Dumbledore says chop chop. Dumbledore sat down again and turned to Mad-Eye Moody. There was a great scraping and banging as all the students got to their feet and swarmed through the double doors into the entrance hall. "They can't do that," said George Weasley, who had not joined the crowd moving toward the door, but was standing up and glaring at Dumbledore. "We're 17 in April, why can't we have a shot?" "They're not stopping me entering," said Fred stubbornly, also scowling at the table. "That champion looks to get to do all sorts of stuff you'd never be able to do normally. A 1,000-galleon prize?" "Yeah," said Ron with a faraway look in his face. "Yeah, 1,000 galleons. "Come on," said Hermione. "We'll be the only ones left here if you don't move." Harry, Ron, Hermione, Fred, and George set off for the entrance hall, Fred and George debating the ways in which Dumbledore might stop those who were under 17 from entering the tournament. "Who's this impartial judge who's going to decide who the champions are?" said Harry. "Dunno," said Fred, "but it's them we'll have to fool. I reckon a couple drops of aging potion might do it, George." "Dumbledore knows you're not of age, though," said Ron. "Yeah, but he's not the one who decides who the champion is he?" said Fred shrewdly. Sounds to me like, once this judge knows who wants to enter, he'll choose the best from each school, and never mind how old they are. Dumbledore is trying to stop us giving our names. People have died, though, said Hermione in a worried voice, as they walked through a door concealed behind a tapestry and started up another narrower staircase. Yeah, said Fred airily, but that was years ago, wasn't it? Anyway, where's the fun without a bit of risk? Hey, Ron, what if we find out how to get round Dumbledore? Fancy entering? What do you reckon? Ron asked Harry. Be cool to enter, wouldn't it? But I suppose they'd want someone older, to know if we've learned enough. I definitely haven't, came Neville's gloomy voice from behind Fred and George. I expect Gran would want me to try. She's always going on about how I should be upholding the family honor. I'll just have to. Oops. Neville's foot had sunk right through a step halfway up the staircase. There were many of these trick stairs at Hogwarts, and it was second nature to most of the older students to jump this particular step. But Neville's memory was notoriously poor. Harry and Ron seized him under the armpits and pulled him out, while a suit of armor at the top of the stairs creaked and clanked, laughing wheezily. Shut it, you, said Ron, banging it down its visor as they passed. They made their way up the entrance to the Gryffindor Tower, which was concealed behind the portrait of a fat lady in a pink silk dress. Password, she said as they approached. Balderdash, said George. A prefect downstairs told me. The portrait swung forward to reveal a hole in the wall through which they all climbed. A crackling fire warmed the circular common room, which was full of squishy armchairs and tables. Hermione cast the merry dancing flames a dark look, and Harry distinctly heard her mutter, "Slave labor," before bidding them good night, disappearing through the doorway to the girls' dormitory. Harry, Ron, and Neville climbed up the last spiral staircase until they reached their own dormitory, which was situated at the top of the tower. 5 four-poster beds with deep crimson hangings stood against the walls, each with its owner's trunk at the foot. Dean and Seamus were already getting into bed. Seamus had pinned his Ireland rosette to his headboard, and Dean had tacked him up a poster of Victor Crumb over his bedside table. His old poster of West Ham football team was pinned right next to it. Mental, Ron sighed, shaking his head at the completely stationary soccer players. Harry, Ron, and Neville got into their pajamas and into bed. Someone, a house elf no doubt, had placed warming pans between the sheets. It was extremely comfortable lying in there in bed and listening to the storm raging outside. I might go for it, you know, said Ron sleepily through the darkness. If Fred and George find out how to return to me, you never know, do you? Suppose not, Harry rolled over in his bed, a series of dazzling new pictures forming in his mind's eye. He'd hoodwinked the judge into believing he was 17. He'd become Hogwarts champion. He was standing on the grounds, his arms raised in triumph in front of the whole school, all of whom were applauding him and screaming. He just won the Triwizard Tournament. Cho's face stood out clearly in the blurred crowd, her face glowing with admiration. Harry grinned into his pillow, exceptionally glad that Ron couldn't see what he could see. And that's the end of chapter 12. And next is chapter 13, called Mad-Eye Moody. I hope you like that, my kitty. I miss you so much. I can't wait to see you again soon. I love you so much. I want you to dream of me. Good night, kitten.